Chapter 8. Meeting Willoughby. 3 days later, the girls were invited to a ball given by a fashionable London hostess. Marianne had still heard nothing from Willoughby and was becoming more desperate every day. She prepared for the evening without enthusiasm, not caring which dress she wore or how she looked. Her face was thin and pale. Her usual healthy glow had disappeared. There were many fashionable, elegant people at the ball, and the rooms were richly furnished with works of art, chandeliers, and flowers everywhere. The girls sat near the card tables, observing the other guests. Neither of them wanted to dance. A little later, Eleanor noticed with a shock that Willoughby was standing near them, talking to a well-dressed young lady. Eleanor turned to Marianne and saw that she had also seen him.
Good heavens! It's him! He's here! Why does he not come to speak to me?
She cried, half rising from her chair.
Please, Marianne, sit down. Everybody is looking at you,
replied Eleanor. But when Willoughby turned in their direction, Marianne got up impulsively, calling his name in an affectionate tone, and held out her hand. He was obliged to speak to them, but addressed himself to Eleanor rather than Marianne, asking her formally how long they had been in town. Eleanor was speechless at his cold behaviour, but Marianne blushed deeply and demanded,
Good God, Willoughby! What is the meaning of this? Haven't you received my letters? Didn't you know I was in London? Won't you even shake hands with me?
Now it was Willoughby's turn to blush. He looked very uncomfortable as he shook her hand. Then, seeing his fashionable lady companion signalling to him from across the room, he composed himself again and replied coolly that, yes, he remembered having heard something about their arrival. He then said good evening and returned to his elegant friend. Marianne fell back in her chair, her face white. Eleanor was afraid that she was going to faint and tried to screen her from the curious eyes of the other guests while she gave her some lavender water. She begged Mrs. Jennings that they should leave, saying that Marianne suddenly felt unwell. The old lady agreed, and they left at once. At dawn the next morning, Marianne was kneeling by the window in their bedroom, writing a letter by the grey light of the winter morning and crying inconsolably. Eleanor sat up in bed and asked her what she was doing.
Ask nothing, Eleanor, for you will soon know everything,
was the ominous reply. At breakfast, Marianne ate nothing and did not speak. The servant came in with a letter for her. She opened it eagerly, read its contents, turned pale, and ran out of the room. Mrs. Jennings saw from the envelope that it was a letter from Willoughby, and laughed at these young people in love.
My goodness, I never saw a girl so besotted,
she smiled.
I hope he won't make her wait much longer. She's beginning to look quite ill with all this emotion. When are they to be married, my dear?
Eleanor repeated that as far as she knew, there was no engagement between the two, but Mrs. Jennings was not convinced.
How can you say that, Eleanor? We all saw that they were head over heels in love at Barton this summer. Didn't I see them together every day in Devonshire with eyes only for each other? And I'm sure Marianne only agreed to come to London so that she could buy her wedding clothes.
Eleanor denied it all, but Mrs. Jennings only laughed more. So in the end, she gave up and went to see how her sister was. She found Marianne crying on the floor of their sitting room, a letter in her lap and three others lying near her. Marianne gave all the letters to Eleanor, then covered her face with her hands and leaned her head on the sofa. The first letter was from Willoughby. It said,
My dear madam, my respect for your family has always been very sincere. But if there has been anything in my behaviour which has caused them to believe my affection was more particular than I intended, then I regret that behaviour and should have been more cautious. The possibility that I could have intended anything more is, you must admit, impossible, given that my affections have for a long time been engaged elsewhere, and that I hope in a few weeks to be married. I am therefore returning your letters and the lock of hair which you once kindly gave me. Your most obedient servant, John Willoughby.
Eleanor was shocked at the cruelty of the letter. That Willoughby would now not even admit that any special relationship or understanding had existed between them, she felt was very ungentlemanly behaviour indeed. To comfort her sister, she said,
It is better that you have discovered his true character now, Marianne, and not later. It would have been much worse if your engagement had gone on for months, and then this had happened.
Engagement!
engagement. But there was no engagement, Eleanor.
Sobbed Marianne.
But you told me. He said that he loved you. I thought...
Yes. No. Oh, I don't know. He implied it every day in a thousand different ways. But he never declared it exactly.
But you wrote to him.
Yes. But could that be wrong after all what had passed between us, Eleanor? I believed he was sincere.
Replied the miserable girl.
I felt that I was engaged to him, just as if we had exchanged the most solemn legal vows. I thought that he felt the same.
Apparently not,
said Eleanor dryly.
But he did at first. I'm sure of it. Remember his distress when he had to leave Barton? He begged me for a lock of my hair. And his look and manner towards me. There was real feeling there. Something happened later to make him change. That woman he was with at the ball, she has turned him against me.
Eleanor saw that Marianne was searching for a scapegoat and did not reply.
I must go home, Eleanor. I cannot bear to stay here now,
continued her sister.
Can you ask Mrs. Jennings to let us go back to Barton tomorrow?
It would be impossible tomorrow, and we owe Mrs. Jennings more courtesy than that. She has been very kind to us. Try to sleep now, and I will write to Mother and ask what she thinks we should do,
replied Eleanor, privately longing for the peace of the cottage herself.